Welcome back to the Better Divorce Podcast. I am your host, Paulette Rico, and I'm here to guide you through the storm of divorce into much calmer waters. So hold tight. Whether you're contemplating divorce, in the thick of it, or just rebuilding post-divorce, I've got you covered. Each episode, we'll tackle the tough topics, share resilient stories, and offer practical, helpful advice to help you navigate with confidence wisely. Remember, you're not alone. I've been there, and so have millions of others. And your brighter future awaits, I promise. Ready to turn a tough time into a time of growth? I know you are. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you find this content helpful, please share it with others who might benefit. Now, let's dive into today's topic. See you soon. I'm hosting a retreat in Belize. Some of you may know, but I used to live there. And Belize is a melting pot of culture that carries over into the food, the music, and the fun. It is the best of both vibes, from jungles to ground you and beaches to heal and soothe. I lived there for many years and go back and forth between there and Atlanta because I can't get enough. My co-host, Tierra, visited me and didn't want to leave either. No one does. This is paradise, folks. My co-host, Tierra, and I chatted about the perfect all-inclusive location for you ladies that are going through a pivot in your life and need to reset, renew, and rebuild, and we nailed it. We kick off with a three-day adventure in the luxurious eco-resort Copal Tree in the southern Belize jungle, followed by three luxurious days on Thatch Cay Island, a private island over water, oceanfront oasis in the turquoise Caribbean along the Belize Barrier Reef. Whether you're going through or just coming out of a divorce, especially with a narcissist, a career change, or you just want to get back to the parts of you that you haven't seen in a while, we are talking to you. Make note, May 4th to the 10th, 2024, and start packing. Space is very limited on the private island and in the jungle. Be sure to act now. We have a passion for leading truly transformational healing events, from heart-opening, accessible guided meditations to connection-based life-changing tools and practices. We curate each moment with care and compassion to ensure every lady is taken care of from the initial registration to the final namaste. It's better in Belize. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Better Divorce Podcast. I'm Paulette, your host, and we're going to jump right in. I have an amazing guest with me today, Cece Schatz. We met, I'm going to say 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. Who's counting? And her Going Solo Network was the ideal resource for my clients, because let's just say I'm not an expert on dating. I went through a long-term marriage, got remarried, and you know, I have a little bit of dating experience, but not enough to be an expert. So Cece started the Going Solo Network, and it is really a powerhouse of community and resources for those who are newly divorced, and really a little bit overwhelmed and confused about the whole going solo thing again. So Cece and I reconnected a little while ago because we're both members of the Divorce Coalition, which was started a month ago, right? About a month ago now, by Beverly Price and a few other experts, Susan Guthrie and Kate Anthony, to name a few, not that I'm name dropping. And there are about 8 or 9 of us that, you know, started spread the word and got more and more people. And now there's 45 of us on the Divorce Coalition, which is growing. And welcome to October, just around the corner. It should be right here. This will be airing in October. And October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So hence, Cece and I thought it would be important to rekindle our conversation, talk a little bit about divorce and dating, and why we think the Divorce Coalition is so important. So welcome to the Better Divorce Podcast, Cece. I'm so glad to see you again, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah.
So for those that don't know you or haven't listen to your first podcast here with me. I'll put in the show notes the link, so you should check that out, because we don't have, you know, a lot of time to go into the whole story. But tell a little bit about your story and why you started it, and what made you think that this would be a worthwhile endeavor, which it is. So I want to share that with everybody.
Well, you know, I started Going Solo Network basically because I went through a horrible divorce, right? And I realized
join the club, right? Join the club.
I know. And I think most people that are in the divorce field, in divorce recovery field, certainly have probably have experienced that. But I realized that I must not be the only one, you know, that's suffering, the one that's, you know, having a hard time. And so that's why we started the Going Solo Network. So we've taken it from divorce recovery, which I call it, and through the transition of building your new life, your new single life of your choice, and then, you know, broadening that into, well, let's think about dating again, getting back in the market, you know, and looking for a potential a suitor or whatever. And so you have that transition of dating and then actual dating. And now we've broadened it from going from the dating arena, getting a partner, to living bold, really living boldly and living to your best potential and continue your self-development as you've gone through. And so with our group, we have, you know, the actual group itself, but then we also have broadened out into the media. So we've got Going Solo Media, Going Bold Media. So we've now refined that to New Streaming Network, which is the home of both Going Solo, Going Bold, and WGSN-DB. Going Solo Radio. So we've got all of that happening and a lot of wonderful hosts and guests, and we're just really excited because there's a lot of you know, a lot of growth that's happening, not only with us but with those that listen. So we're really pleased with that.
Well, I'd like to start with the name, because the mindset of that, in my opinion, is key. Mm-hmm. When we get married, you know, even when you date and engage, get engaged, which I guess is engaging, you suddenly change your mindset from being solo, right? Being a single, to being in a couple situation where you've got a boyfriend, you've got a girlfriend, you've got a partner, a fiance, a husband, a wife, whatever you have, you're now partnered. And you do everything together. You sleep together, you travel together, hang out together. Sure, you might have different careers and you sure aren't attached at the hip. There are many times I'm not with my husband. He's not here now. But you think of that being in a couple relationship. And much of the fear of separating, right? Whether it's breaking up, even if you're dating, you're still going solo. Breaking up, you're now separated and going through the divorce process, whether your divorce is short and sweet and amicable or as nasty as they get, you have to go through this chronological, you know, movement, this forward movement of shifting not only the physical, emotional body, but the mental identification of no longer being in a couple. Partnerships can change, friendships can change, sometimes we move, and there's this enormous transition from the idea of being in a couple, a partnership, to going solo. And it's ideal. When I first met you, I was like, it's brilliant, because it's scary to so many. 70% of divorce is filed by women. And even those women who didn't initiate the divorce, In many ways, that 30% of the ones who did not initiate it have a little bit of a more, sometimes different emotions of takes them a little bit longer because of the different stages of grieving, of just going through all of those stages to acceptance to say, wow, I'm no longer in a partnership. I'm solo. I'm single. And that's really liberating and inspiring and freeing on some level, but it can also be terrifying and overwhelming to many. So the fact that you've created this brilliant media company and it's a resource for so many to build community and learn from and not feel like you're going solo alone is brilliant. And if you are out there listening and this is something that resonates with you, please, 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 this is something you're going to really enjoy. She is a great host and she knows what she's doing. So that's my opinion on going solo. So.
Well, thank you. Well, you know what we have found is not only just going solo, like you have to start redefining your life again, but you also have to start being centered on who you are, figure out who you are, understand your core, your values again, set your boundaries, those kind of things. So there's a lot of things that as you move forward from divorce, right, you have to start establishing. And then we've realized that when we continue that, we want to continue going boldly in our life. And so that's why we now taking on the new segment of going bold, because we want to continue that self-development, that continue the building, that building block that we're doing and that transition. But we want to continue that if we're looking for another partner. We want to keep our vibration up, to attract those into our lives at the level that we're at. So we want to keep our vibration going. So we want to keep moving forward in a very positive way. And even after we have someone in our lives, we want to still continue to be the best person we can be to keep that partner in our lives, right? We want to be able to be the very best. So, so we've have established that. So yeah, it's kind of an exciting transformation that we not only can make individually, but with those around us. Because what I have found that when you're doing that and you're moving and your vibration is going, you're excited, you're in a more positive mindset, other people want to be like you, right? They gravitate towards you. They want to be friends with you. They want to catch on to some of that energy and excitement that you have. And so that's a wonderful thing.
When you shift that and you start to build a little bit of courage and you start to feel that little spark again of boldness, meaning, should I change my name? And like, should I use a it, wanting to date again, that initial feeling, right? And being social and putting yourself out there. It isn't the first thing you should do, though. There, like you mentioned so clearly, was like knowing who you are and really identifying your core values and all of the things that perhaps didn't go right in the first relationship, or maybe the second or third. We have to remember too that in a first marriage, it's like 45, 50% ends in divorce, and second is more like 60, and third is 70, and I'm not even going to go into more than that. So there is such a sense of fear of failure, but wanting to put yourself out there again, and what you do to do the work on yourself first, initiating a clear inner conversation with yourself about what it is that you're looking for, and seeing the future not with doom and gloom, but a sense of inspiration. And I think it's great. I love to host retreats for women after divorce because it is one of those things that they get to treat themselves for, because you really need something to look forward to, some and other like-minded people to hang out with that can relate to you and relate to what you've gone through. Not everybody's had the same situation. In fact, I don't know many divorces that are the same. They're all pretty darn different, just like marriage. But the opportunity to explore and be creative again and not worrying about what your partner thinks, it's so liberating.
Yeah, absolutely. And so since we did bring up the coalition, the divorce coalition, a lot of individuals that are coming from relationship loss that have gone through some very traumatic experiences, it takes you a little longer, and it will take you longer in order to recover and to understand that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that you can develop and grow from that. So that is a big part of it. And so I'm often asked, like, how long is your recovery? And there's no set in stone with, like, well, so you've been married this many years, you're going to have this much time. The reality is number one, what is the trauma that you've experienced, throughout your married life? And then how is that going to, affect you into the future? Because we are going to take stuff with us. Everybody always says, well, leave your baggage behind. You got to get real. I mean, life is life, and you're not going to leave your baggage behind, but you have to know how to deal with it and understand it, and to be able to be aware of it and move forward in your life. So you don't want to create any additional patterns, which is why I think we have our second and third marriages and fourth or whatever, how many we do, is because we haven't been able to deal with all of that, and we've established patterns in our life. So we have to understand that as we move forward.
Yes, listen up, everyone. Cece's so correct. If you have experienced any trauma and domestic violence, which is also now known as intimate partner violence, in your marriage, whether you were in a short-term marriage and had no children, or you were in a long-term marriage and had a whole dormitory full of them, that experience is going to leave a mark. It's going to leave an imprint in you, in the memory, but also in the physical body. You're going to have to learn to reach out and get some help, a support team, a best friend that is not going to pass judgment, somebody that you can really trust. And besides that, the right team of experts. I'm not a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a therapist, and all those other acronyms after people's names. I don't diagnose, but in the work I do with divorce, I always recommend, when there has been domestic violence of any kind, that they seek the right help. And as to Cece's point, yes, there are a few individuals that heal quicker than others, but it's not a race. You don't get a blue ribbon for getting to the end of the finish line. You don't get a little prize that you get to wear on your lapel. I healed faster than others. It's an individual journey, and you have to kind of be okay with that. I also recommend that you see it as a little bit of a ladder, like a staircase. You're going to have days where you take a few steps forward and a step back, or one step forward and a few steps back. Maybe you take five steps forward and no steps back. That's awesome. But if you do kind of fall back into that feeling of, oh, I'm afraid this is going to happen again, or what did I do to deserve this? Or all that internal dialogue that people typically will experience when they've had that kind of trauma in their marriage. It's not, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, that's normal. That's okay. But it feels so much better when you're with other people that can give you a hug and validate it, and make you feel that you're worthy and you have value and there's nothing wrong with you and you didn't do anything to, make it happen. It's really important for your next step. So going bold, going solo. With Divorce Coalition, check it out. Cece's right. There's this website, which is just in its infancy. I mean, who brands something, logos it, colors, font, brand, site? I mean, the whole darn thing. And I don't know, in a week or two, it was miraculous. I'm
Yeah,
sure it felt
terrific.
like, 9 years to Beverly. Kudos to you, Beverly. Standing
Yes.
ovation, everyone. Standing O.
I agree. I agree.
Crazy, but there's so many resources out there, and it's just in its infancy. We as a team are on a mission to raise the awareness, because in divorce, in general, in my world, I see a lot of control, coercive control, emotional, psychological, mental control, physical, sexual, those are the two that typically everybody sees as domestic violence, the broken bones, the bruises, the black eyes. But financial control can also be one of the abusive situations where you're in the dark of your finances. You've never been allowed to look at a tax return. You can't ask questions. You don't have a credit card in your name. You don't have access to any money. That's really scary. And you can't get a job, or if you do, it has to be a certain type of job. And when you feel like your spirit's constantly being broken, you're being judged, criticized, formed an alliance against, those things are debilitating and it really is devastating to the soul. And if you think you're just going to get out there and start dating again and not heal from that, that's when you're going to need to repeat the process. I'm the only professional in your life, hopefully, if you've gone through a divorce, that never wants a repeat client. You see, I don't like it when people call me a second time and say, "Do you remember me? I need you again." Because I'm going to feel like I've failed them. It is my responsibility as a mediator and a divorce coach to make sure that they feel processed, absorbed, digested, assimilated everything that they've experienced and learned and got the right professionals to help them. So kudos to you for seeing it as the next step and not just, going out there and dating. So.
No, I agree with that. And I will say, I wanted to just mention is that, I had a gentleman in my group one time and who had gone through a process and was doing very well, moving forward, doing very good. And then all of a sudden he was triggered, right? And he said to me, how come I keep feeling like this? I hear this song, the song came on, and it just triggered me. And I was like right back, feeling as miserable as I was when I started. Why is that? Why do we do that? I said, well, because does take time for us to heal. It does take time for us to get over that. But the reality is that you are feeling, and if you didn't feel anything, then what would life be, right? And so you've got to understand that when you do feel things and something does trigger you and you kind of have to deal with that and t try to get through that and process it as to why that's bothering you. Or were you thinking about times that you had, maybe good times that you had? It's okay to think about good times that you had. It's all right to do that, and know that there's going to be good times for you again in the future. With maybe someone else. And so we've got to know that if we're hurting, if we feel bad, if we're in pain as going through something, I would much rather feel the pain than feel nothing at all. So we've got to know that. So as we're progressing, as we're moving forward, we've got to know that we want to know that we do feel. And so a trigger here and there is okay. Acknowledge it, understand it, try to ask yourself, why are you feeling what you're feeling? But it's not a setback. It's just a re reminder that, you are a person, you have feelings, and that you do acknowledge that, and that you want to move forward with it. So that's terrific.
I love that you just so clearly explained that the trigger sensation, and it could be anything. I have seen a song on the radio, a poem, a piece of clothing, a restaurant, a city, a vacation that they remember or recollect. It could be a person. Who knows what it is, but
Even a smell. I had someone say one time they were in the department store walking through and they smelled, this perfume, and it's like, oh, this is I my wife wore this, I mean, so it's a trigger. So yeah, so I totally get that.
and you just have to, when and if a trigger happens, just stop, experience it, like the odor, the aroma, the just kind of, and then take a deep breath. Thank it for the memories. Say thank you for visiting. Thank you for that. It's not all bad. I mean, right? There are going to be some good parts of that. We don't want to always assume that because there's been a divorce or a breakup or a violent situation of whatever level, that the entire relationship is bad. I see so many people struggle with that. Well, he doesn't always act that way, or she doesn't always do that. And well, of course, that's that tipping point, right? Of at what point does this become something that is dysfunctional, unhealthy, and something that you can't, it's not safe for you to continue to be in that type of relationship. So yes, triggers, triggers, triggers. So with all your years of experience and your own personal, situation and also helping people, if somebody's listening to this and they're kind of newly divorced and maybe they experienced some sort of control or domestic violence, maybe they didn't. It isn't a prerequisite, right? It isn't like why we're having this conversation by any means, but it does make people start to think like, how was my marriage? Was it abusive on some level, or did it just fall apart? We start to analyze and pick apart so that we can learn from that, so we don't make those mistakes again. But with all that experience, and somebody's listening to this, what advice do you give them as an expert in this world when they feel, just like they just want to say, forget it, I'll just be single the rest of my life. It's not even worth it.
Well, I mean, I think that if we want to be true to ourselves, right? If we it, I've often said about my exes, I didn't want to get revenge, but I wanted to survive. And that was my way of getting revenge. It's like, no, I'm not going to be broken, for the rest of my life. I'm going to be able to go forward. And so I would ask you, are you saying this because you still feel broken? That you don't want to move forward? Do you need to do a little bit more homework on yourself to be able to figure that out? Do you think that you're not worthy of moving forward and having someone else in your life? Or if you're just frightened from that, if you're frightened, fear itself, we totally get that. And so I think you have to really understand what is the holding, what's holding you back? What are you feeling that way? And if you choose that you don't want another partner in your life, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. As long as that's truly what your choice is, that you've made that decision because you're happy with yourself, you're happy with your existence, you're happy with maybe the friends that you have, you started to build a different type of life for yourself, that's great. But if you're holding back because you're scared or you feel broken or you feel like there's nothing out there for you, then I would say then you need a little bit more work on yourself. You need to understand why are you feeling those insecurities? Why are you feeling the hurt that you're feeling? Why are you going through that? And it's okay if that's how you're feeling. We're not saying that you shouldn't feel what you feel, but what we're saying is that if you feel like you can't move on because it's a choice of that there's just nothing left for you, then there is homework to do. There definitely is homework to do.
One of the good ways to do that, as you started to talk about that is getting those feelings out. If you particularly don't have anyone or you don't have a therapist, to journal, like get a notebook. Doesn't matter if it's at the dollar store or you buy some fancy, binder, just get your emotions out of you, because when they get out of your head and out of your heart and out of the belly and on paper, and you can look back at it and read it and sort of look back at it as if it's not what you're going through, but it's in the past, and you're able to acknowledge it as something that's separate from you. It's not you anymore. It's a separate experience. I find people can read it, look back at it, reflect on it, a little bit more of a witnessing than wallowing in it and being in, like putting on the coat. They're able to take the coat off. So if you've not journaled, I highly recommend it. And if not, it's a great idea to get some counseling or therapy too. And community makes a huge difference when you feel like you have a sacred space and an inner circle and a community in which you can relate to other people. Whether that be a weekend, an hour, a workshop, an event, a retreat, or just a new friend to hang out with, it's very beneficial.
Yeah,
What's going
it's
on?
good, isn't
Go ahead.
it? I'm saying it's part of letting go, isn't it? It's part of letting go.
Yes,
So when
totally.
you release it, right, when you're writing it down, you're releasing it. When you're sharing it with someone else, you're releasing it. Even if you don't like to write, you can use your phone and record. You can record and delete, hit delete if you need to hit delete, and let it go. So if you're having a bad day, things aren't going right, triggered, whatever happened, you can record it on your phone, let it all out, and then hit delete and let it go.
Delete is a magical button. I
Yeah.
highly recommend it. When in doubt, never hit send, always hit.
Yes, true. True.
If you have to think about it, always hit delete. And I always say to my clients going through divorce, say, if the judge were to read this, what would happen? Right? So delete is always a smarter option.
Yes.
Now, what's going on new at Going Solo and Going Bold? Are there any events that you want to share? Give anybody an update on anything upcoming in the fall that they should know about?
Well, we've got always a lot of things going on. We're building right now the media part of it out, so a little bit better, trying to revamp our website, things like that, of course. But and then we're combining everything to the new streaming network, which stands for what is it? Is what was it stand for? Nonstop Entertainment, new streaming network, not worldwide. Nonstop Entertainment Worldwide. Gotta
Quite
remember,
a
and
mouthful, but
that's what new stands for. And then streaming is streaming. But yeah, so we're doing that. But as far as the groups and everything go, we have the Going Solo Travelers, which it seems to be quite active now. And so we're doing some traveling around Florida, but we also have a singles cruise that we're doing in January. So if anyone wants to come along with that, you're more than welcome. So we've got some things like that on the horizon that we're doing. We're combining with the Going the Divorce Coalition. So next month you're going to be seeing on Saturdays some great shows like this are going to be appearing. So we're going to be doing some back-to-back shows on Saturday. So to try to make more of awareness of the national domestic violence, national domestic violence. But here's the thing: it's not just about domestic violence; it's about abuse in general. Because there, like you had mentioned, there's a tremendous amount of abuse. There's the emotional abuse. There's mental abuse. There's physical abuse. There's financial abuse. There's all kinds of different abuses, both for men and women, that we are creating awareness for. And so we're going to be doing shows on that. So then the month of October, we're really kind of focused on that a great deal. And I know you're going to have several shows that are going to be appearing. And so we're very pleased with that. We're very, very proud, Paula, to have you join us here on that. So, anything we can do to create awareness for that and to stop the abuse is truly what we want to do. Absolutely.
And abuse is just another word for control. There's this sense of fear where you can't be in charge of your own thinking, your words, your feelings, your emotions, your money, your entire life feels controlled and manipulated, where you feel like you're living in a box and you can't step out of the boundaries without repercussions. So whether it's violence, that's, what is violence? The definition will be different. I'm sure we could look it up in Webster's or Merriam's dictionary. But that feeling of abuse, where somebody is really out to harm you, control you, manipulate you, and make you feel less than an equal. And that's not the definition of a partnership, right? We want to be in a partnership, whether it's just a dating partnership or it's a romantic relationship or a long-term relationship where you feel like an equal. We're in this together. I'm in alignment with what's in your best interest. You're in alignment with what's in my best interest. And we work together as a team. And it's so sad that that isn't the case in all relationships, but we have to face facts. It isn't. And that's why this awareness month is so key. So whether we call it intimate partner or domestic violence, or we didn't label it, but it is key for everybody to start to have the conversation about knowing that it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to get help. It's okay to do some research and seek resources and tools so that you have a little bit more knowledge and confidence. And if it is divorce and you're on the other side, divorce isn't the end of the world. Look at CC, look at me, we're here. We survived,
Absolutely.
right? And this book, Better Divorce Blueprint, the first three chapters are before, the second three chapters are during, but the last two are after. Did everyone hear that? After, right? So there's a whole new life out there. Yes, it takes time and it's a process, and you have to, as she said, do the work, be the light, rise above it, and do as best you can to really be your best self. That's what this is all about. So thank you for your time. I love the work that you're doing. Thanks for, putting yourself out there and helping people. That's what it's all about, Cece. Thank you for being a part of the Divorce Coalition and for being such a great supporter of Better Divorce Academy. And until next time, everybody, you gotta make the best of everything. Keep thriving. Make sure it's better. See you soon. Thanks for joining me today. If you were inspired by today's episode, please share it with a friend or a loved one. My hope is you feel empowered to take some action, no matter how big or small. Action that allows you to step out of the chaos and thrive on your own terms. If this podcast added any value to your day, please review it on iTunes, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Until next time. Keep thriving in the chaos.